Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
How many great Pauly parties were you a part of? Because people, I missed his last one, and I was like,
but he's older now.
Yeah, the 50th birthday. Now they're handing out purple t-shirts. It ain't the same thing.
Before, it used to be packs of little white things. Before, but no more.
Dude.
Remember the Chewy days.
Yeah.
The Chewy days.
I mean, we still have some that floating around, but the Pauly
Pauly's not part of it, yeah.
When I'm telling you, like, I'd be waiting to the House of Pain would come and play. One time I was watching Mickey Rourke nearly snort a table up.
Shit.
I'm like, bro, you gotta calm down.
That
it
was wild.
He would just, the parties were phenomenal.
When this place wasn't so corporate.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we call it the dead years.
Yeah, the what?
The dead years. Like when it was kind of slow, you mean? Those, like nobody was here.
And it was just a party house.
Right,
we were basically animal house.
Yeah, it was like Animal House.
Yeah.
And just whatever would happen,
The glory days.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When it wasn't so corporate. When there were no cameras and...
Yeah, now there's fucking... They lock doors. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
People have to live here.
and they have...
Exactly.
They have, like, comedy in a bunch of the rooms instead of, like just empty areas for fucking
no more. I got caught fucking here a couple months ago.
We heard. It's one of my favorite stories, by the way.
How does the story go?
Yeah,
well, this
say,
is how the legend goes.
Yeah,
you know it better.
I don't know.
It's a legend.
Okay, so I don't know what manager or somebody was like, hey, what? Because you were with somebody, and I believe you were in the main room. Okay, in the ramp, like the main room, and they were like, what are you doing? He goes, it's okay. I'm a paid regular.
Perfect answer.
That's what I answer everything.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's my answer for everything here.
Yeah.
I'm paid regular. Don't worry about it.
No, it's cool.
My
I'm a paid regular. It's like,
my picture and my name is on the wall. That's what I tell them all the time. My picture and my name is on the wall.
What did the manager or whomever it was say to you?
I don't remember. I think he
he's like, okay.
I don't remember. I just know I was doing something.
He starts running your name through a file. I'll see about that.
I don't know if he left and came. I don't know. I think he just walked in or something. I said, okay, wait, man. I'll be finished in a minute.
Smart.
And he came back like, look, man, come on. I was like, okay. I'm almost finished. Okay, so
just give me one more minute. I'm a professional.
Could cause a medical issue.
You could have said I'm a professional. Because they can Google that too.
I'm a paid regular, and I do this.
I have an Avian Award.
I know what I'm doing.
Don't worry about it. Go back.
Yeah, go on your merry little way. It was weird. Like I remember one night it was late. And we were drinking in the back, but like everybody just hanging kind of and stealing beers naturally. And then I went to, we used to put the drops in the original room, in the cover booth. We did it in the main room and the original room. But this night I was walking into the original room and it was closed. Everything was closed. And there was one little tiny light on in the OR. And I walked in and I'm hearing sex. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it was a manager and one of my waitresses on the stage in the OR, just going at it.
You have
like,
to. The OR is the only place I haven't.
That's the toughest place to.
Yeah, you can't
to go because there was a show there
in the morning. It was definitely that late.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I remember walking into the main room like maybe 11:30, and we were going to smoke pot, and there was people, two people fucking on the stage,
early.
And I just remember being like, it's not even midnight, and they're just fucking on the stage in the main room.
Guys, you got to wait till midnight. Come on. A little respect.
More importantly, now I'm going to have to go into the lobby to get high instead of the green room, because I'm not going to walk through sex to get high.
That's the best.
It's so.
But there was so many little holes. Like I've been telling this story about one of the comics, when they started locking the doors, he met a girl, like they do, and then he went to give
her
the tour.
Take a tour,
And that's just how it works, right? There's Universal, and then there's the Comedy Store tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was giving
comedy
her a tour.
Comedy Store usually ends with dick.
Yeah.
Comedy
Store tour.
Hey.
Damn.
So he was taking her, and he realized the doors were locked, and he came back, and he's holding her hand, this poor unsuspecting nice girl, and he goes, they're locking the doors now? And I was like, yes.
Yeah. it ain't the golden years.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the fun time. That's why I'm impressed that
I'm a paid regular is the right answer, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For anything.
I wouldn't have got caught if the girl wouldn't have been so fucking contrary. We just would have went in the women's room, like I said at first.
Old school.
Yeah. Never got caught.
She yeah, because nobody goes in the women's room.
Right. I mean, it was right there. I was like, she wants to be in the doorway.
Oh, yeah, you go. Yeah. Oh, she wanted to show.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, well, look. Turn around. Okay.
So it was like a pride thing. It was like a pride. Yeah, yeah, I would have done the same.
I was like, see, you fucked
more
up.
More of a doorway girl.
Yeah, I was pissed.
Nothing wrong with that. Listen, your brother's listening to this.
She has control issues, you know.
Yes.
Like, you can fuck me, but you have to do it right here.
Yeah, because I want people to see that I'm...
And part of her was like, I'm going to do that because he probably won't just fuck me right here. And she didn't know that she was dealing with a champion.
Yeah, hey, I'll do it.
Paid regular, see, names on the building, which means you can get away with it.
Maybe.
And again, professional.
Depending.
<That's> amazing.
I remember...
That's my passport here.
You remember, everyone loves that story, by the way, because it has circulated. I'm a paid regular, and everyone loves it. Oh, no, it's cool. I'm a paid regular.
I'm a paid regular.
You can get away with a lot with that,
but
though.
I always throw in since 97.
Since 97.
Paid regular since 97. It's like my little fucking, what is that, the American Express?
Yeah.
The card member since 97.
You're 20, one of the OGs,
21 years,
if you will. Exactly. That's an OG.
I've been fucking
now.
Here for two decades.
Two decades.
You know, have you ever heard
Amber,
the saying?
Amber
have you
Heard?
Heard the, have you ever heard the saying that if you're sitting next to Johnny Depp's ex-wife, your life is going to get really great?
Dude, that's one of the oldest sayings. One of the oldest sayings.
That's like a saying in Hollywood right now.
Johnny Depp, giant Stanhope fan.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're like buddies. They're
only
like besties.
Been here.
Makes me jealous.
The night of the Stanhope podcast down here was the same night that she claimed Johnny Depp hit her.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. When you saw that.
No.
Yeah,
when I saw her in the room with him, when they came as a couple, that was after.
No, I meant the night Stanhope
did
was down
podcast.
Here podcasting.
Oh,
was the same night that...
Oh, I thought you meant the night we did that show with Elon Musk in the audience, because that was quite a bit after.
Yeah.
Can I throw something out real quick? You don't want to fuck with Elon Musk. Here's the thing. You don't want to fuck with Elon Musk.
I'll
this
fuck
is what
with
people
disagree.
Well, why would you even think... But why would you even entertain that? What we should be thinking about is how lucky we are to live where there's a guy who's so fucking smart, people are letting drill holes under LA.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you got it, dude. You
bought
got
a drill
it.
Machine.
Like everybody just bows
it's
down. Go ahead. What are you gonna do? You gonna launch a rocket? Okay.
Perfect.
Don't tell anybody.
Everybody back.
Fuck
up.
Them. Let them think it's a UFO. He just launches cars.
What I'm saying is, okay, so when we think of body disposal.
Okay. Why'd you look at me when you said that? Like I have to do that.
I'm talking about the history of body disposal on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can bury them. We can liquefy them. We can incinerate them.
Okay.
We can feed them to pigs. But one thing that hasn't been accessible yet is to put the body into space.
In a car.
So to be dating a person who has the ability to murder you and send your corpse into space.
Yeah. No one can ever do an autopsy on you.
Ever. Yeah. You're gone forever.
Yeah, right.
Orbit, like a satellite.
Don't
launch you.
Don't
never be able to
fuck
collect
with
it.
Musk.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with Musk because he can kill you. Like he could, Elon Musk could like.
You're talking about the conspiracy theory that the guy who's in the
space
steering wheel
is one of his enemies.
Is one of Elon Musk's enemies.
Yeah.
If that was the case. That would be, without doubt,
diabolical.
Fuck Genghis Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Those Viking pussies.
Any of those.
He launched his enemy into fucking space.
Yeah.
And let everybody watch.
Yeah.
If that was really the case, that might be the most gangster move a human's ever done.
And the conspiracy theory was, what I loved
I
was
told
like,
you in confidence.
Sorry.
That person would wake up and it says, stay calm on the dashboard.
Yes.
So they open their eyes like, what the fuck?
Everybody thinks that inside that thing is a purse, is a corpse. But really what's inside that thing is a thing
person.
That's connected to saline solutions that are giving it just enough fucking protein to keep it alive for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
A whole year.
So the person is in this car and keeps coming to a little bit. And every time he wakes up, he sees or she on the dashboard, stay calm. Stay calm. Yeah.
I gotta go.
Just go.
Sorry.
All right.
I'm going
Joey,
on stage any moment now.
Thank you.
I'll see you after your set.
I'll see you afterwards. I'll come down if you guys are still here.
Yeah, right. Come hang
I'll
with
be
us.
Back in like 20 minutes. You'll be here.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. I'll run
and
up.
And then Rick will have to go
on. Yeah, because we'll swap out. Yeah.
I'll come up when I bring you. I'll come down.
Cool. You're amazing.
Fun times, kids.
Joe Rogan, guys.
Hey, guys. That's right. I'm talking to you guys for just a second. Just want to talk about it. I know you're embarrassed to talk about it. But, you know, we see it. We know. It happens. Life happens. Life happens. You start to get older. Maybe even not even that old. Mid-30s. You start to see it. Your hair starts to recede a little bit. A little bit of thinning, you know. You start freaking out. What do? You buy baseball hats, snow caps, right? You're wearing a ski hat in the summer. Really? You don't need to do that. And please don't wear those hipster hats. We're not really into that. Don't do that. No one likes that. So why hide it? Why be embarrassed to talk about it? Take that second. This is so simple. You can nip it in the bud now. It's not something you have to hide anymore. There's actually solutions out there. You can go to forhims.com. It is a one-stop shop for men's wellness. You don't have to go to, you know, there's no like voodoo or some, you go to a back alley and rub some creepy oil on your head. That's not what it's like. This is so simple. You don't even have to go to a doctor's office and wonder who saw you come in. Oh, no. Who knows you're going bald? We do. We all know. Relax. It's okay. Because there's stuff out there for you. There is solutions for you. This is backed by science. This is a win-win situation. You know, you can go in. You can get well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions. Right? They will ship it to your house. They'll ship it right to you. You could try it at home. And let me tell you something. Comedy Store listeners, if you order now, our listeners get a trial month of For Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. So why not do yourself a favor? Throw your sweaty hat out and get your shit together. Honestly, go to forhims.com/TCS. That's right. forhims.com/TCS. forhims.com/TCS. Get it. forhims.com/TCS.
Charlie Burnett's like, he's like, I need a drink. And I actually remember going behind the bar and just pouring him fucking straight liquor so he could get the edge off, right? But then Mitzi shows up and I walked up to her and I'm like, do you remember me? Like, I had just
done
here.
3 minutes.
I did, like, yeah, like, I did, man, you know, and.
Best way to approach her.
Yep. Yeah, and she goes, oh, yeah. You're funny. Go ask Becker if you can be a doorman. And I'm like, I didn't even know what the fuck that meant. You know, so.
Like, I want to be a comic, not a doorman.
Right. But like, I was just happy she remembered me. Right. So then I go find Mike, you know, and I'm like, Mitzi just said I could be a doorman. And then like right out of the gate, like Becker's like, we're going to make you head doorman. Oh. And I'm like, I didn't even know that was like a nightmare.
Yeah. But the worst.
Yeah. The worst. Cause you got to do the schedule. And at that time, you know, there was no security. There was just weird Kirk and his sister, yeah. Right?
I remember Kirk.
Right, and Ralphie was the back door guy all the time. Remember
the
Fat
big guy.
Ralph?
Yeah,
pre-Chewy. Ralph was this weird dude that lumbered around, and he always carried a stack of Polaroids of pictures of whores sucking his dick.
Yes,
yeah.
Is that the guy who just died
he
a couple years
away.
Ago?
He did,
So, with the Polaroids in his pocket.
But Argus's speech at that gathering was one of the best I've ever seen at a memorial here.
Yeah.
Where he's like, yeah, Ralphie was around a long time, and I think we all are thinking the same thing. Why couldn't it have been Johnny Zapp? And then Johnny Zapp stands up super mad. What? This is ridiculous.
Zapp, I remember Zapp doing a Zapp gig with Mark Godier.
I don't remember that.
You don't
name.
Remember Mark Godier? Mm-hmm. He was this big, tall dude. He had long hair and a beard, and he was around. I heard he became a fisherman. Oh. So I get the head doorman job, and at this point, she's like trying to do a comedy store in like the Sheraton in across the like in the over in the valley, okay. Like in studios in Universal City. So there's just this little room that they'd set up, and who were my door guys? Jay Pope.
I love Jay Pope.
Yeah, Mitch. Who's that angry little Jew? Mitch. I can't remember his fucking name.
I don't know, but I like it.
Rodney Blackman. Remember Rodney? He wasn't a comic, but he did the phones and stuff. New Orleans guy.
Okay.
Great guy. Andy Volver. Kravitz's friend was here.
I know Kravitz. I remember that.
Who were the other door guys? Like, none of them are really. Mike Jaselka. Remember Mike Jaselka? Mm-hmm. I think he's a lawyer in Cleveland
now. Oh, wow.
But he toured with Sammy for a while. So I get here. So I get this job. I'm the head door guy. I don't have any understanding of this place.
But
the
you
mythology.
Don't have Sam and Carl?
Not yet. Here's the weird thing that happened with that. This is how it happened. I don't think I've really thoroughly told this story because it was weird. Like, I didn't know what was up here. I just knew that, like, I had to wear the shirt. And at that time, she wanted us to wear blazers. So I had to buy a blazer. And I had to buy, like, just a, you know. And
standard comic uniform.
Right, yeah. And the comedy store shirt. And right. I had to do the schedule. Christopher Wheel. Like, I didn't know how I was supposed to do spots. I was told that the belly room was for non-paid regulars. But I had to get on a show. I auditioned for the belly room with another fucking door guy. Christopher Wheel, he used to have a banjo that had an applause light in it.
Oh boy!
Wow!
Like he'd push a button and it would say applause, and I was told that
did
I had
it work.
I don't know. Yeah, so I think he went on to become a film director. But I was told that I got to audition for one of these guys. So he made me do a set for him in the belly room, and there was no one there but me and him. And then I was able to work the belly room. John Nikeforis, you remember Nikeforis?
No.
He was around, but not a door guy. His dad was a mortician. He was an interesting guy. Todd Lemish.
Todd, I love.
It was here before
scariest
the
man ever.
Yeah, but before
he was so funny.
When he was just the blow dealer.
He wasn't a blow dealer. He was like a blow junkie, you know. But before he got mean, like he was really this weird,
so
sweet
funny.
Guy. Yeah, but he was funny because he'd bring Kevin West.
Terrific.
He would bring us on stage. Todd would do these vignettes. Like, you know, Kevin West was Oswald in the Kennedy shooting. I was John Lennon getting shot. And he was sort of, he'd do other people's material, but he thought he ran the place. You know, and then I met Barris right away because Barris had just gotten past sweeping in his car and sweeping in the back of the main room. And he took me to lunch, you know, and he was like, this is what's going on. It's, you know, he got into my head and he was fucking weird. And then Mark Goldstein talked me into writing with him. Mark Goldstein, that's how fucking naive I was. Goldstein's like, we should write together. And I'm like,
and you did
okay.
It?
Well, I tried.
My God,
it was, so I nice. Remember when I was, you know, I moved out of Culver City into Crest Hill into Dice's old room. Not originally.
The maid's quarter thing?
The green room with the shag car in the bottom.
Yeah.
I was up top first, but then I got Dice's room with its own bathroom.
Yes.
Had its own bathroom. So I spent one day writing with Goldstein, and he had no ideas. He just had this idea where it's like, I'm Mario, and it's called Hey Mario. Hey Mario is the name of the movie, and he's just me walking down the street going, hey! People going, hey Mario, hey! And that's all he had. Did he die?
That premise could sell still to this day.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey
he
Mario.
Was so fucking nuts. It was like Groundhog Day for me, because I started at 93, so yeah. I would come here, and Danny Stone and Mark would just come in every day, do the same thing, pass me, and go do blow in the back, and then come
Goldstein
out.
Goldstein was doing blow?
I don't know if he was just hanging out or
no,
doing.
No, he was just a weird cockeyed, you know, kind of.
Well,
you know.
His eye, yeah, he lost his eye.
No, that was later. He was always a little, yeah, I remember he lost his eye.
I remember Mitzi gave him money for that. He had to get a surgery or something.
Yeah, yeah, that was after me. So, like, so I'm here and, Andy Lederer's around.
I don't know
like,
that one.
And so I'm kind of excited to be here and, you know, I'm working the main room and there was like two or three shows in the main room back then. It was sort of a big time.
It's technically the boom when you're talking
A little after.
A little after.
Yeah,
okay.
It was like, you know, because Roseanne's gone, you know,
right.
Jim Carrey's gone, Robin's gone, they're all gone. It's, you know, it's approaching Sam's time. Sam and Dice broke the year that I was here, right?
Oh, okay.
So the main room shows would be like, it'd be Dice, Joey Kamen, Jan Hart, Karen Haber, Fleischer, Damon Wayans. Like, you know, just like dudes, you know, Altman.
Was Fleischer
Tim Jones?
Was he Tim already Jones. Weird and kind of crazy?
He's always doing the same thing.
Always same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, always the same thing.
Okay.
And like those were the shows. So like, and Dice was, you know, he hadn't broke yet, but he was solid. Like it was like it was all you could feel was about to happen because it was
character.
So tight. It was so tight. And then Sam would come in late. Like Sam Monday nights were that was when it all happened because Monday night it was no cover in any of the rooms.
Wow.
In my recollection. So it's all the freaks would converge. And that was when Sam would do it. Like, so like you could just feel him coming. But I'm getting ahead of myself. When I got here, because I was only here about a year. And when I got here, Sam was out on the road, okay. And Carl had come back, and I didn't know Sam. I'd seen him once, and I didn't like him much. I thought it was a gimmick, and I didn't give a shit. And I don't know what I was thinking, but Schubert was around, but he wasn't a doorman. He was already in, like, you know, he had already broken his leg. When I met Schubert, he still had a cast on, and I was here when he got the cast off too early. And they had to go, and I was walking with him, and he couldn't walk, and he had to go get it back on, and he never did the physical therapy, and that's why he's fucking gimp.
That's why
he limps. Yeah. But that, because he wrecked his bike. But he used to be a dice guy. Dice had guys, Sam had guys. Dice's guys were generally clean, right? You had Hot Tub, you had Jimmy, you had Cheesecake. You didn't want to hang around Dice too much because you get a nickname. Here comes Muffin, whatever.
I was Shermanator.
You were?
And that was 2003 or something. So,
but the thing with Dice Camp and Sam Camp is that Dice, they were all clean and, you know, on the level.
They were on drugs.
Weren't on drugs.
Oh, got it. I was
the Sam Camp.
Wise, yeah. Right.
Sparky, remember Chervitz?
Yeah, Sparky.
I ran Sparky out of here.
Yeah. He was a bitter little fuck.
Yeah, he showed up and everyone
Ricky outbitted him.
Everyone was like, God, this guy's fucking annoying. He was just treated everyone like shit. I was a door guy. And so I was like, hey, go fuck with that guy. I'm like, all right. It was like 3 weeks of every time he showed up being like, hey, Sparky's here. Let's piss on him.
Oh,
and him being like, yeah, you should respect me.
He'd do a Sam voice.
Like, no one respects
you. Yeah, Sparky was here. Yeah, sure. So I'm in the kitchen, and Carl comes in, you know, and I'd never seen him before. And I watched him perform, and I was like, this guy's like a performance artist. This is genius.
It's amazing.
It is kind of amazing what Carl does.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. It's something to watch. And back then, you know, but I didn't know Sam really, and I didn't know their relationship, and I didn't know any of that shit. And I introduced myself as a new door guy. He's like, yeah, I was a door guy. We were all door guys. So he's like, yeah.
That's pretty
like,
good.
Yeah, you know. You know, and he's like, yeah, you seem good. You seem good. And he's like, here, take this. And he gives me his watch. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And so I'm like, thanks. So I thought it was some sort of like, you know, like, all right. So
you're
this
in.
Means, yeah, right. Gang. I got the watch.
Got my colors.
And he's like, Sam, I'm going to want Sam to meet you. And I'm like, all right, okay. You know, but I didn't really know what I was in for, you know, but I'm living in Crest Hill and now I got Carl's watch and, you know, and I'm like, what's happening? You know,
it's all happening.
Right. And then Sam shows up and like, he gets right in you. Like, he gets into your being. He's like, you're a new door guy, you know? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right. Okay. All right. It's like, we're going to have a talk, you know, that kind of shit. And I'm like, yeah, Carl gave me his watch, you know? So like,
Sam's like, oh, well, that's amazing. In that case, I didn't realize you were on the watch already. Yeah.
But the story that most people know about me is that peeing on the bed story. But this is the first time I met Sam. Like, you know, I thought I could do drugs, you know, I thought I was on the level. Like, the first time me and Sam hung out, man, like, you know, it was probably a Monday. Because Sam, you know, once I got into the crew, you know, it was my job to set Cresto up for the party. So he'd give me a couple $100 when he'd go in and do the main room. And I'd go buy liquor, enough to stash. Buy cigarettes. I'd go buy mixers. And I'd go up to the house and I'd just lay it out and wait for the freaks to come. So they would come up Monday night and we could go till Wednesday sometimes up there.
Yeah.
But it was I was that lackey. Like, you know, you ready? You can do it. I'm like, yeah, man. I go down to Pink Dot and I go down there to the liquor store, 7-Eleven. I'd just be buying, like, I know this is going to go on for a while. So I had to buy liquor that I would hide because the initial party was always like a bunch of weirdos. But then the hardcore people would always come down to like Sam, me, sometimes Carl, and a few other comics that were just sort of like, what is happening here? I don't know. But the first time I met Sam, it was great. So we're up at the house, you know, and, you know, he's putting out coke, you know, and
nice. And
I had the lobby card picture of the cast of Freaks, and that I initiated that as what we would do coke. I don't know why we did it off of that, but we did. It was always off of amazing. The picture of the cast of Freaks.
And rightly so.
Right.
It
right.
seems like it makes
Perfect.
Sense.
So it's just me and Sam, and he's got coke, and I'm a coke guy, so we're doing it, you know, and he's just looking at me going, look me in the eye, Maron. I don't respect someone who can't look me in the eye. So I'm like looking at Sam.
You know, Jesus.
There's two dudes on below staring at each other.
That's right. And he's telling me what's up. You know, he's just, I don't remember what he said, but I remember we were doing coke and I'm looking at him and he's looking at me. And then he's like, you ever burn money, Maron? I'm like, no. He just pulls out money and he's burning money. I realize in retrospect, this is my initiation. This is my brain fuck. You know, like this is how, you know what I mean? Like this is how I'm like, I want to be around this guy.
Yeah, he knows how to party.
That's right. So what happens though, like I don't remember if it was the first or the second time, but it doesn't matter because I don't know him. And he's like really arguably probably the biggest star in comedy at this point. Like, he's doing big shows. Like, he hit his first HBO show hadn't happened, but Rodney had happened, and I guess Back to School probably happened, but he hadn't done the HBO special because I was at that party.
Oh, wow.
For the first HBO special at Carl's apartment. That's a funny story. But okay, so we're doing coke, and it's like 3 a.m. We're out of coke, and Sam's like drinking, and he's like rocking, you know. He was all like, "It was a fucking disaster." He's like, "We gotta get coke," and I'm like, "All right, I don't." It's the middle of the night, man. He's like, "All right, let's go." You got a car? He knew he was too fucked up to drive. I was fucked up, but I'm driving down to Greg's. Remember Greg? The hairdresser.
That's amazing.
Eventually, Sam turned on him. He's like, he's cutting this coke with Bisquick. It's weird because Greg was one of the coke dealers around here, but he was like the main guy for a while. He was a hairdresser. He used to work at a salon down on Melrose, but I didn't know him. And we go over to somebody's house. He lived on Crescent Heights. Sam buzzes this buzzer. It's like 3 a.m. He's like, hey, it's me. Let me up. You got coke? You know, whatever. So we go up, we knock on the door, and this guy comes. He's in a bathrobe. He cracks the door. It's like, what? He's like, got any coke? It's like, just be cool. My roommate's sleeping, you know. So we go in. I'm like, hey, man, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
So on the ride.
Yeah. We walk in. We're in his bedroom, and, you know, he's looking for some bindles, right? And Sam is like, yeah, anything to drink? And, like, all he had for some reason was miniatures, right? So he gives Sam, like, a miniature Smirnoff from an airplane. And Sam's just fucking, you know, half passed out on the floor sitting there drinking a miniature. He looked like a giant.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, and I'm just standing there, and he gives me the coke. And then Sam just fucking goes. He passes out. And I'm standing there with this dude I don't know who's in his bathrobe. He gave me the coke. And Sam's passed out.
Is this guy gay?
Bedroom. Nope.
No, straight hairdresser.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And
it happens.
And I'm like, all right, so I'm gonna split. And he looks at me. He's like, you're not leaving him here. I don't want him to pull a Belushi on me. Get him out of here. Like, that was the care that this guy. That's a good friend,
oh
right?
My God.
I don't want him to die.
Yeah, he's dying with you.
Oh, I forgot the best part. It's like. Like, when we're driving over there, Sam keeps going in and out of consciousness. And at one point, he wakes up and he looks at me. He's like, hey, you could kill me. I don't know you. And I'm like, all right, where are we going? You know,
You're in charge here, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. You could kill me. But then I get Sam up and out. And I drive him back to Crest Hill. And he's too fucked up to party. And I just lay him out on the floor. And, you know, he sleeps on the floor.
You
I do some lines.
Around him.
There was no one else left. It was just,
oh, it's just you two.
Yeah, yeah. And but he used to do that all the time. He liked to sleep on the floor. Like, he would sleep on the floor at Crest Hill a lot. And, like, to the point where I remember having a girl come over. I went to lunch with her, and I brought her back to the house to show her the cool house. And it's just Sam's, like, on the floor. Like, we could just belly down, laying on the floor. I'm like, that's Sam Kennison, big star.
just step over him.
I was very much the angel of the Comedy Store back in those days, and my eyes were wide open, and not from all the cocaine. And, but they were asking, like, because Joey Gaynor was on the podcast, and I mean on the stage, and he was saying, like, comedy was way better back then than the comics they have now. And I get why he says that, but it's not true. But this is my point I'm getting at. When you watch Bill Hicks now as a young man, and you're not putting it in the historical context that it was, because they asked me, what do you miss about comedy now? And what I miss about comedy now is there's no danger to it. And you have to understand, when guys like Bill Hicks or Sam Kennison and even Carlin were doing those jokes, there was a danger to it because it hadn't been said. Like, yeah, yeah. Everything's already been said.
They've already
so it feels passé
way.
And you're like, meh.
Yeah.
But the fact is that it was the added titillation of, ooh, and boundaries being broken that weren't being said in that time period is what added into the laughter as well, and added into that whole thing, and that's all I wanted to make the point about.
No, but that's interesting point you make, because a lot of people say, like, oh, would Dice or Kennison make it today because we're so PC? But they made it PC. They broke down the barrier.
I still think comedy, and again, I never watch comedy specials now, so I don't know what's on those, but. I just watch live comedy.
Yeah.
And
I would say that it is dangerous. It's like the last Like, there's still people being politically incorrect. It's like one of the only places where you can do it without everyone in the world.
But who do you think is out of everyone you've seen live, the most dangerous comic? Were you, when Rick you Ingram. Watch them, when you watch, like, I remember when I came to the Comedy Store in 84, 85, right? And I was very, very young. And how I got into comedy is I was a stripper when I was 18 years old.
Now we're
and
up.
I met a comedian. And then we dated, and he dared me to do comedy, and then I did comedy, and that's how that all happened. So
did you
I had
stay
already
friends with that person?
No, fuck that guy.
Yeah, right.
Fuck that piece of shit. He never became a regular at the Comedy Store. Fuck that guy. No, anyway.
Yeah.
So amazing. Yeah. Dude,
and not dead. Fuck so him. Fuck him.
No, fuck him quick, hard.
I really respect the quick rage out there. Just went from being like kind storytelling,
sweet boys,
to literally stabbing a heart. I love that passion. All right,
but anyway, so I had already seen a lot, but I think the first time I came to a comic store, I couldn't even get in because I wasn't 21. So then I did stripping by the airport, and I started doing open mics and all sorts of things. But the first time I saw Kinison, I might have been 19 or 20 years old. And watching him gave me fear for my soul.
Right?
I'm talking about that kind of fucking danger in comedy. Who is that now? Where your soul is in fear because you're like, fuck, I can't believe you just fucking said that.
Aside
and
from
I'm
Holtzman.
Going to hell for listening to it. And I'd already been a stripper for like 3 years, so I've seen a lot of shit. Well. You know what I mean? That's when
you're like, this is what's taking you to hell. Got it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think it would be hard for me to say because I feel like I don't – like I have – there's no filter in my brain, so like nothing makes me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Maybe that's true too. But Holtzman, I watch Holtzman like, oh, fuck, they're coming for us.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. There you go. I get that.
Holtzman's just the other night, I was hiding under a table watching him because I was like, they're going to go up there. I'm not helping
just
him.
Just ranting about how terrible women in the workplace is very interesting decision in 2017.
And how if he starts his own business, there's going to be separate buildings. You bitches go in the old one over there. You know, it's frightening.
Yeah.
And you're watching women look at him like, the fuck is this guy? You know, but it's obviously a joke. It's obviously so over the top. And even like if you watch Kinison or Dice, you hear the dumbest shit. You're like, obviously that's a joke. Like, what the hell? Are you really listening?
Yeah.
Like when people get offended, they hear
one
word.
But to make that joke work, there has to be that seed of truth. And that's you know what I mean?
True.
So it's like, I'm going to call you out on that one. Okay, sister.
You're right.
You know,
is that seed of truth.
The seed of truth is what hurts people's feelings.
Yeah.
I miss this place. I miss him. I miss you guys, man.
Yeah, man. It's great seeing you.
I don't
you.
Have friends anywhere except here. In LA.
What do you mean?
I mean, I have friends, but like not comedy. All my comedy friends are fucking here.
Well, it's because you started here. So like everything grew.
And it's also
grew.
Because I stopped when I left here pretty much. I mean, I didn't stop, but you know, for all intents and purposes, I mean, I went back to school, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I got married. My marriage was just like a sordid affair that dragged on and on. It crushed me down to a cubit. It nearly ruined me, honestly.
And Jesus.
I just had to kind of reinvent myself. So I quit comedy. I went back to school and I just got my associate's of science for I'm going to do major in organic chemistry.
Oh.
Either I want to do biochemistry or I want to do become a chemical engineer, eventually get a PhD in chemistry and maybe make things or either medicine or drugs or who knows.
That's so rad.
That's crazy.
And now I'm doing comedy again. So I came back out to Los Angeles to see my friends and to be able to perform, and that's why I'm here.
That's amazing.
And it's like a dream come true. Like this place is – people don't realize how amazing it is. At least to me, it is it feels so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there's no place that's in my heart like the Comedy Store.
No matter how dark it is.
It's
right?
No matter how – I literally lived in this fucking building for 6 months. I had my bicycle in the fucking green room.
Yeah.
And Dean comes in and he goes, you're out of here, pal. You don't respect the building. And I was like, Dean.
Bro,
what are you talking
Dean
about?
He's never
bro?
Gotten that excited.
I mean, I was, dude. He
this
got
is
that
how
excited.
Dean yells. Yell.
Bro, your bicycle's in the green room, bro. Okay.
No. He was forceful with me, dude. He was
really?
I was living in here. I was bringing girls in here, waiting. I would hide up in the attic where they had the sound thing. They locked. There's no alarm here.
Yeah.
There's no alarm here.
Now there is, but now there wasn't.
I'm not gonna,
there wasn't before.
There wasn't.
You're right.
Okay, everybody, there's an alarm here now. There's nobody sleeping here now.
Because we used to do it all the time.
Dude, I'd have slumber parties like fucking, you know. And just have sex and like get high and fucking like, you know, and then Dean just got sick of me doing that every night, man. Like,
he's
I
like,
mean,
dude, I'm sick of
I'm
watching
like bathing
the
in the green room. I come out in a bathrobe in the morning, like talking to the fucking help while they're putting dishes. Like, oh, good morning, guys. Like, you know, it looked bad. It was a bad. It's a bad look.
Juan Carlos is doing better than you, bro.
Yeah, dude. It was like, and it was bad. I mean, I was like, you know, when I was out here, it wasn't easy, man. But the Comedy Store was like a refuge. Like, I was fucking living in my fucking car.
Yeah.
Like, do you get that? Like,
I remember your van.
Parked up the hill, Ryan O'Neal and fucking Jeff Dennis.
Yeah.
Pulling out. I'm sleeping in my car. I'm not from a world like that. I grew up in a house. I'm sleeping in my car for some dumbass fucking I'm going to be famous dream, right?
Right.
And they come pulling up and they like roll down the window, laugh, point, honk,
jerk offs.
Fucking
out,
dicks.
Out
just
asshole.
Straight up dicks. I mean, that was real. Like, that was like bullying, like kicking me when I'm down.
Yeah. Hey, look. There's a target.
Come on, man. But I love them. They're
I was going to say that those guys, though, they would have kicked you if you were up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
they'd
totally.
Like to kick.
They're
like,
oh,
to kick
you
people.
Have a mansion? What a fucking loser. What? Can I not win? You cannot win with those guys.
No, and that's
that
why we
beauty.
Love them.
Yeah.
Because they are a mess.
But truly the best comedy club. And, if, and just like the best place. I mean, if you're going to be, like, I think entertainment in general and comedy is just like a, such a, like, a, it's like a dark industry. I mean, there's like just a lot.
Oh,
I mean, never mind like the whole Harvey Weinstein, like raping people, jacking off in front of people thing. Like,
we all do that.
Yeah, that's just the, I mean, I have masturbated in front of so many girls.
Yeah.
Like so many. I mean, the
I'm
power dynamic
was
different. I mean, it was a very different power dynamic. It was more like they were doing me a favor. You know, like it was more like, will you please let
oh,
me do
all
it?
Right.
All
hurry
right. Go
up,
ahead,
Mac.
Man. Ejaculate already. You know.
Get on with the coming, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, it was nice to do that.
But it was
yeah,
nice.
Like, but there was like there was a lot of like there was a, yeah I just had like a moment like thinking about the last time I did it. I was
like
she was
zen
cool.
Moment.
She was cool about it. Like she did it. I was like, you masturbated by me. I masturbated by you. We've masturbated and now like Tinder's over.
Nobody has
now
a
Tinder
disease.
Is over.
Wait, what year did you start doing stand up? Because you've been doing it a while, correct?
About 2000.
Okay, that's not bad.
So.
And what year did you get past here?
I was the first person Adam passed, so whenever.
Oh, Adam. Okay, why did I think you were a Tommy guy?
Well, I tried.
Well, you're next, okay?
Is that what happened?
Well, that's what he told me on the podcast I had him on.
Oh, that's right. You had Tommy on.
He's the only one who actually got Tommy to sit down.
Exclusive.
Wasn't it a two-parter
did
even?
Did you do that?
Well, I heard he asked Maron to do it, and I don't know what Maron said, probably.
Who are you again?
Yeah. So I was like, well, if he wants to talk, I'll get him on. And, you know, I had him on for about 2.5 hours. And I thought, ah, dude, I got to get going. But you can come back if you want, thinking he never would come back.
Right.
He calls me 2 days later. Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. Nothing. Can I come over? I'm like, I guess. And he came over with that waitress, Laura.
You know, Yeah.
She didn't say a word.
Of course not. She's not allowed. She's not allowed to speak.
Well, they were booking the Van Cleuse Lounge.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
She was fired because she creeped out Pauly, which is one of my favorite. Yeah.
Yes.
One of my favorite things ever, just the thought of Pauly being like, that girl freaks me out.
How is that possible? Was she English?
Yeah.
Something? Okay,
but
I
she was
it.
Like, you know, she used to date like a homeless open micer for years. That's how I knew her.
Oh, wow.
Like in the early 2000s, I met her at the Liquid Zoo.
How does a homeless open micer get a girl?
He was a pretty funny dude. He was just, you know, a little wacky.
Okay.
Might have suffered.
What guy was it?
Prefer sleeping outside?
I'll never forget. His name was Fred Fortune.
That's a sweet name for a homeless
that
guy.
That is so evil.
Fred Fortune.
But he was a drunk, but he was cool. Like,
he was
like,
a fortune.
He was like if Boone was cool.
I wonder if he's like an heiress. Like
He's
part of the Fortune Femster.
Who knows? Oh. I don't know. Some kind of.
It was kind of like Sunset Jesus, where you're like, this guy's got to have a story. Like, he's got to have some money or something. And, you know.
Something. Something's off.
But, you know, Sunset Jesus was not some wacky.
Yeah.
Fucking,
right.
He had a condo on Laurel.
Well, wasn't that his family's and he ran it, Kevin?
Right.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Fred Fortune, it was similar, like, okay, he's kind of homeless, but he's got to have some money. Like, he never smelled.
Oh.
He was showering somewhere.
He had a beard. He was doing, like, what a certain comic used to do back in the main room.
Okay, you. I know we've already said.
I'm talking about Yorsey
showers. We've already done it.
Do we mention names? I mean,
yeah. Oh my god, oh, we okay. have a disclaimer. Yeah. We got in trouble, so you can say whatever you want.
I have a tendency to say extremely truthful and mean things about people, and so the Comedy Store lawyer made us put a disclaimer.
David Pierce.
Yep, that's him.
I wanted to kill him in Montreal.
Oh, thank God.
Who doesn't?
Wait, was that for the roast battle?
For roast battle, and you know,
because you're a big part of roast battle.
You were.
You were.
I was.
You are no longer.
I mean, I left. You know, I had to take a break.
Okay.
Was it a forced break? What happened?
No, you're allowed to say names.
No, I mean,
or whatever.
I just felt like everything was being made hard for me and me only. Like, I never got like an easy match. They would always give me like Jimmy Carr. And
you mean that match you won and they gave it to Jimmy Carr anyway?
Is no, I beat him. No, they
didn't they give it to Jimmy or they
well,
gave
the first
it to-
season? A lot of people thought Tom Ballard possibly okay. could have beaten Jimmy. So then Tom Ballard was my first matchup.
Okay.
So like I get this guy, then I get Jimmy Carr, and then Tiana, and then K. Trevor Wilson, while other people are getting, I don't know,
Hinchcliffe. Oh, did I say that out loud?
But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, Mike Lawrence got to battle his best friend, Dan St. Germain, who's a great guy.
True. Mike Lawrence is pretty good, too.
Oh, he's the champ.
Yeah.
But, like, Dan St. Germain's not really a roaster.
No.
Great comic.
Yeah. Terrific.
Well, why didn't I get him? Like,
right. I see what you're saying.
You know, so.
So just, you wanted an easier route, but maybe they thought you were stronger.
It's not that I wanted an easier route. I just wanted a level playing field.
You didn't want to have to go up against the best every round. You
know, every single round.
Right. It's like, wasn't fun. Montreal wasn't fun for me because it was like, I was told if you lose, you're going home tomorrow at 8 in the morning. So it was like.
Right.
And it's live TV, you know, the finale, and like you have to battle Tiana and then K. Trevor Wilson. And like
you and Tiana went into extra innings, if you will. Is that how you say it?
Not really. I don't think.
Wasn't there one more joke or something?
She beat. I mean, I thought it could have possibly gone into overtime, but Sarah Silverman, I don't think, was a fan of mine.
Oh, shit.
And I knew that Judd Apatow was going to just vote with Sarah Silverman. So, but Sarah beat me, you know.
Well, no, Sarah's good.
Oh,
I watched Sarah destroy Tiffany Haddish, which I don't know if you remember that
night.
I was there,
yeah.
That was so funny. Because we went to support.
I would pay to watch anyone destroy Tiffany Haddish.
I love Tiffany Haddish.
It was pretty brutal.
I love Sarah Tiana. But we all went because I was like, these are two strong female comics that are up there taking over the battle, right? So I remember it was Leslie Jones. We're all hanging out. We weren't judging.
Dude.
We weren't judging. We were just there to support the girls, right? Leslie is a great guy. So, I was kidding.
She got mad at me once.
Oh, my God, yeah.
She's like, yo, man.
She loves you. So did you run a room in the 90s or you don't remember? But I just know it was the late 90s.
No, I did, but it's confusing because it was alt and we really didn't. I'm not saying we didn't belong here because really the Comedy Store.
Oh, we are.
Was very, but it was very different at that time. It wasn't. It was before.
Yeah.
No one was really going in the belly room.
It
there
was
weren't really
years.
Any shows in there.
No one was going to any room.
We called it our dead years.
Yeah.
But especially the belly room, and so they were kind of like giving it away. We did an alternative room at the, you know, that coffee. It's not a coffee shop. It was like a club. It used to be the. It's across the street on Sunset. I don't remember any of the names of it, but we ran a friend of mine. We did that
at a few
places. But yeah, at the time, I would have never gotten into comedy had I gone straight into comedy thinking I was going to be funny. And I never idolized comedians. I never identified with stand-up comedians. I was did acting when I was a kid. I did acting in high school, and then I went to art school for painting. But I honestly, because I didn't want to be around actors, but it was really the only thing that I liked. So I was like very bottled up inside. And in art school, I started doing performance art, and I loved that when I would go to open mics, and people would go for poetry readings and take the stage alone, and I was just fascinated by there was one place where it was a transvestite from the street, you know, and I'm in my early 20s. I'm in San Francisco. I'd never seen anything like that before. I was just like, tell me more. Like, I could watch you read from your, you know, she's reading her poetry.
Yes, I
want to
hear everything.
And so all these open micers, I was just like eating it up. I just liked the solo performer, even in my performance art, where other people would have like a body sock covering their eyes and their ears, and they would go down flights of stairs, and that would be their piece. Mine was always, I'm performing, and you're going to sit and watch me. I never conceptualized, like, I'm taping my genitals, although I did do that for comedic purposes.
Naturally.
But you know what I mean? My performance art was very, I would have disjointed sentences. I wouldn't know what was coming out of my mouth. And I was like, it was almost like I was boiling over inside. And so when I saw these performers, and then the comedy clubs were closing in San Francisco, so a lot of comedians would come to these rooms, these poetry rooms, and it would be like Patton Oswalt and Blaine Kapach and Greg Behrendt, Jeremy Kramer, who's not, doesn't perform anymore, but at that time I was like, oh, because they would do stuff that they wouldn't do at the clubs, but they were so onto themselves and their voice, and it was so clear that I was like, I like that.
So it was just a way for them to work out, you mean? Like,
yes.
They weren't necessarily doing performance art, but...
No. They were doing...
It was just an open mic in terms of you could do whatever you wanted.
You could do whatever you wanted.
Free form.
So then I started hanging out with more those people, types of people.
And I like that you said those people.
Those people. I don't know. Was I putting myself in the third person? Or who was narrating that story there? That would be my
negative life.
Yeah. It was just singling out that they were clearly not as good as you, which I respect.
By the way, my favorite people. I was just like, yeah, this is what
you want to do.
And to be clear, when I was in art school, those were not my people. So you're joking when you think I'm better than them, because I honestly was like,
you're joking. Yeah.
Clearly, nothing about me spells out.
Great when we have to explain the joke. So that always works out. I'm excited about it.
I don't know him well.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Don't trust men.
Smart.
This is a
very
close
smart.
I tried to compliment him get him to open up to me. So
he has better hair than us.
Better
Come
hair
on.
Than both of us combined. Better boobs.
God damn it.
Better vagina.
Listen, I've got a dad bod now.
If Rick Ingram likes you, you're in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
That's a valuable point.
That's a fucking line you want to, you don't want to cross.
Very small company.
Yeah, it is. It is somehow I got in. I was like, fuck yeah.
Like, even Dean, our old manager, he had 15. We called it
the Dean 15.
15 people. Yeah. Rick, it's not even that big. That's a mob.
Fucking good.
Comparison.
I think,
I'm not quite sure. I've been dying to ask him, what are the criterias, actually?
To be on my list of people I don't want to see executed?
Right.
Oh, wait a minute.
You have to be funny.
Okay.
You have to actually try at doing this.
Yeah.
And above all else, you have to be someone that I would want to have a conversation with off stage.
So
and that eliminates most people.
Let's break it down. First one is be funny.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is work hard. So most people are out. The shake and fake.
That gets rid of a lot of them.
Oh, just shake and fake. That's a great way to put it. And it's an absolute.
You're
real
a lot
thing
like me
now.
Because sometimes I just can't fake it after a while. And I'm like, well, these people are time bandits. And they're just going to take up my time when I'm trying to get ready to do a set or something. And they don't even like you anyway. They're just there because the next person's not there to talk to.
And my thing is, this is my favorite thing that's been happening in the past, I'd say like 2 years.
Yeah.
People are like, hey, you've been doing a lot of shows. I'm like, oh, yeah, you just kind of have to get out there, ask people, whatever. I want to follow you around. See how you do it. I go, oh, okay, I'll introduce you to some bookers. You know, hey, I'm going out, let's just say Tuesday night. I can't Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go. I have like 3 shows on Friday. Oh, Friday's a tough night.
Can you get me a prime spot exactly when I want to go?
Man. No? I've been telling people, I tell everybody that. Like, they go, hey, you got somewhere pretty quick. How do you do it? And then when I show them, like, you know, last Wednesday was my 8-year anniversary, so I put up how many spots I did.
In all 8 years?
Yeah. So
how do you know?
Well, I write down every spot I do.
That is a strange thing.
Well, I did it at the beginning because I thought, well, maybe I'll just mark the spots just to know what I was doing, you know?
So you did it in your phone, so it's an accurate...
Right.
Oh, okay.
And then, so...
He's not notching on the the prison wall how many days he's been locked up.
I write it on a Catholic calendar that my mom gives me every single year.
That's fucking hilarious. Time.
That's old school.
So here it is.
I don't know where they are, but I write it down.
Here it is right here.
And it reminds me of what holiday it is.
So I'll show somebody that. Okay, there it is right there.
I mean, considerably more spots than days in a year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
First year, the only year under 300. And it was under 300 by two.
Yeah, and that was the first year, not knowing anything.
That's like that's like open micers who are like, I've been doing comedy for a year. And you're like, you've done eight spots this year. Yeah. Well, but you know, it's tough. You're like,
my point is, really when I show someone that, they go, oh, they think I'm going to give them some like, okay, here's what you do.
Listen, man.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Fuck all the hard work.
Just meet these three people.
Yeah, and you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, then they throw all these excuses at me. One will be like, well, you know, like I got no manager or agent. I never had one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, I fucking get tired and stuff. I'm 51.
Right. Whoa.
You're 28, dude.
Yeah.
You're 28. I didn't even sleep when I was 28.
Yeah.
Oh.
Never.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they hit with all these excuses. I go, you don't want it. You don't want it.
Well, the 28, they really don't want it. They really expect. Like, I have friends that call from Philly, and they're like, hey, can you get me a spot at the Comedy Store? I go, man, it's not real easy to get in at the store. But there are some bringer shows. Let me introduce you to the people. You send them a clip, something.
Yep.
Give them something.
Right.
Let them know who you are. You know, I can vouch for you to an extent, but they have to make money too. That's what they're doing as a job.
Yeah.
So you can't just step on their toes. And then this one guy I did it for, and I've worked with him in Philly a few times. He's decent, not, you know, a showstopper.
Right.
But it was, you know, he does his job. And, he comes, he pulls up, he's like, yeah, I get to park in the lot, I'm part of the Comedy Store now. I'm like, dude, are you high?
Wow. Get him out. Get him out of town.
Do you know what that takes?
Wow.
I don't want him west of Palm Springs. Right? Bad attitude.
I'm like, the balls on this guy. I'm going to beat the shit out of him when I see him.
You know, it's funny, too, is it's pretty interesting because I do give everybody a few minutes all the time because, you know... People gave me a few minutes on the patio. I'd be like, hey, man, I'm a little confused here or whatever. Somebody, you know, so I do give them time. And, you know, I think out of the 8 years, there's probably two people left that I started with. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you'll notice that. Yeah.
Oh, fucking crazy, you know? And they're just like, hey, you're still doing it, huh? I'm like, yeah. That's why I started.
Yeah, I didn't.
Your class it wasn't around, for fun. Right?
I've been doing a lot more writing.
That's great.
Which is, you know, that's what I really moved out here for, is to be a writer. And stand-up was like the gym for writing. You know, you get to use all your tools.
Yeah.
You know, you get to work on your writing, your improv, your acting, and all that stuff in stand-up. And it's one person. I'm not doing improv, you know, because...
Fuck no, you're a good human being.
Yeah. and so I was wanting to be a writer, and I did stand-up, and I've been doing it now for 11 years, which is insane. And now I'm reflecting on those 11 years, and I go, if I had dedicated that 11 years to something else, could I... be more rich or more famous or something.
Bro,
something
I've been doing
else.
This for 16 years.
Look at you,
17.
You
17
poked the beast.
Years.
Who poked the beast?
I could have
That's what I wanted.
I could have gone to medical school, become a doctor,
twice.
Gone, actually have about 6 years of being a doctor under my belt.
What
right
is
now.
What is that? What is that thing in our head that makes us come back to it? It's an addiction. It really
totally
is.
Totally addiction. Yeah. I'll be 11 years in February, and I'm like, I jones if I don't go on.
Yeah.
Like I took 3 days off and I was literally getting the shakes.
Someone we interviewed was like, sometimes it's just best to take off a couple months. And I wanted to be like,
I don't
bitch,
agree
what
with that.
The fuck
what are you, talking,
are you
about?
Talking about?
Yeah. No. No,
can't
no,
do
no.
that shit. Not to mention, I gave up everything in my life for this.
Everything.
I literally can't earn a dime doing anything else. At least you figured out like how to work in the industry.
Even if you wanted to get back into the job force, what are you going to put on your resume?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm terrified of that. I'll wet my bed again.
I've worked in two shipping departments. I was a runner, but literally filling out labels for packages is the extent of my qualifications beyond waiting tables.
At least you can do that.
And I mean, I can't even do that well. I got fired from it.
No, but you were writing for the Carmichael Show, which is
co-creator,
a great show.
Right?
Co-creator as well. God damn.
Yeah.
Did you guys start together, you and?
Yeah, we did. I think I came out like a month or two. Yeah, like 3 months before him, before he moved out here. And like our little class of people, you know, Gerard and Jamar and Angelo. All those guys, we all started around the same, Matt and Tony. We all started around 2007, 2008 or something like that.
Gerard is, he's always interesting to me because of how much I despised him when he first showed up.
Why?
Based solely on the fact that he was always with that Jono guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but Jono was like his stalker. Yeah.
I mean, Jono was legitimately insane. But like the first time I met Gerard, he was sitting in the second row in an OR show with that guy. And like he was wearing his Harvard sweatshirt.
Yeah.
So I was making fun of him being from Harvard.
Yeah.
And he obviously wasn't from Harvard.
Oh, no.
But he came up to me afterwards. He's like, "Hey, man, sorry, I'm not really from Harvard. I just
he went to Harvard.
Yeah,
so I was like,
no, well, that's how I met him. He had that damn Harvard sweatshirt on, or some Ivy League school, because he had several of them. And I went up to him and I said, "You didn't go to Harvard."
Good for you.
And he goes, "Nope." And then I was like, "Oh, he's honest. I like that."
Yeah.
You know?
Well, once I talked to him, outside of him having this 7-foot psychopath with him, I was like, "Oh, this guy's all right." I go, "What's the deal with that Jono guy? Why are you hanging out with him?" He's like, "Well, we live at the same place."
There you go.
And I was like, "Oh,
yeah, okay."
Yeah, that was.
I'm
it.
Sarah Silverman's nephew.
That's what that. Jono oh, that's guy right. I forgot he would say that. That real? You think?
Yeah.
Poor Sarah.
I remember Sarah telling, because Barris asked her about it. She's like, "Yeah, I mean, technically it's right, but you can just ignore him." Like, no, that's a good family right there. Dude, that Jono guy showed up. And he'd always come up to, "Oh, man, you're my favorite comic." I'm like, "Thanks, man." And Corinne, who I was just starting to date at the time, was like, "That big guy kind of creeps me out. Like, I feel like there's like a single white female thing going on."
Oh.
And like, I'd be talking with Corinne, and we'd been dating maybe like 4 months. And Jono would come over and stand in between us, like trying to get my attention. Like, "Well, if I just block out his girl, then he'll have to talk to me." And Corinne would just be looking at me like, "What's this guy doing?"
Oh, my God.
And so I go, "Yeah, I don't think it's single white female. It's just, you know, he's a fan and he's new to comedy or whatever." And then like maybe 3-4 weeks after that, he shows up with a big mustache. And he's like, "Mustache Brothers."
No.
"If Rick Ingram could have a mustache, I figured I should have one." I'm like, "Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We're either going to die."
Gerard would never say that.
Gerard, at no point
ever. If he had 7 mustaches, he wouldn't say that.
He never called me Mustache Brothers, which hurt. It actually hurt.
I was obsessed with Gerard when he first came.
So funny.
All of you guys, because I thought you brought such life. I mean, it's just weird. I was older when I started. So, like, Steve Ranazzisi used to say to me, "It's so funny to see you hanging out with, like, Willie Hunter and Jamar Neighbors and Gerard Carmichael, like, and Lexi Shoemaker." You know, we'd be just running around together to any mic we can get to. But here, I was already here for 12 years as a waitress, and then this elderly woman is hanging out with these young, handsome black guys.
No, Eleanor was killing it, man. We were, you know, Eleanor was on stage. We would run in there and watch her every time.
Oh, my God, that's frightening to me.
You know? Like, well, that's what you did.
No, because I, like, looked up to you. When you guys came in and Tommy was like, "Well, we got to stick to the line," I'm like, "No, I'm putting them up. Like, they bring life to the open mic."
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they didn't get on the fucking list.
Get Mickey his stage.
Wait a minute, Tommy.
Every time Tripoli would see us everywhere, he'd yell out, "Young Guns, here to take my spot." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? We're never going to get to go up at the Comedy Store." And then a few years later, I'm like, "Well, maybe you're right, Sam."
Yeah.
So wait, okay, so we didn't really interview you about being here at the World Famous.
Oh, that's what we do here.
That's kind of...
All right, edit all that out. Josh, we're starting now.
Josh, don't even fucking listen to him. Honest to God. But wait, no, this is my question. So how long did it take you to get past? We'll do that.
10 years. No, I got passed as a paid regular in 10 years, but I got passed like four times before that.
Hold on.
Like it took me like...
That doesn't make sense.
Are you talking unpaid regular?
Yeah. It took me 10 years to be a paid regular.
Okay. And who passed you? Mitzi
said you're ready. Yeah.
Did she, Tommy?
Tommy said Mitzi
holding
did.
Her under the water in the bath yesterday.
Tommy said Mitzi did. Tommy said Mitzi did. Showcased for...
On film?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? Remember she used to record them?
She was here.
Okay, so she was in the building.
I showcased for her so many fucking times. But that's what happened.
And what did she say to you?
And I just remember I just got a spot, and then I was like, I didn't remember what happened. And I was like, I think I showcased like recently, and then I got showcased. He was like, yeah, I talked to her, and she said, you're ready, okay? And I was like, okay. But, you know, I don't think he said anything to her. I think he just put me on the fucking list.
Yeah, he just decided.
But you did showcase for her. Did she ever stop and say anything to you?
She told me this. Yeah, no, I was never the phone guy. I was the door guy in the cover booth.
But you were in contact with her.
Yeah, I ended up fucking talking to her all the time. I went to her house every morning.
Right.
Yeah. So I showcased for her once. Bobby Lee got me my first showcase.
Oh, fuck him.
And
him and everyone else.
This was back when you never talked to him. And
you know,
made up.
You know, they reconciled on this podcast, Jason.
it's true. I remember hearing that.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Rick was so confused. He should have been wearing a black and white t-shirt.
I can't believe it took that long.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It took Freddie and Mitzi to die. No, I'm kidding.
Bobby was my first friend. We were tight at one point.
First of all,
he never had a
Bobby
car.
Was everyone's first friend.
Yeah.
You're one of 500 people who are like, Bobby Lee really helped me get in here.
I'm sure. But
yeah,
you're
not alone. So go ahead. So then he helped you get in.
So I got a showcase for her, and she passed me to work the door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she told me I was funny. And then... She told me that, and then I talked to her.
Said the same thing to Jimmy and Joey.
Exactly.
Don't get your
exactly.
Fucking...
I don't feel good about it. Look at the names on that wall.
Yep.
For every fucking... For every one Bill Burr, there's fucking 30 Jimmy Joey's or fucking...
You were a regular spaghetti and meatballs in this building.
A lot of homeless guys sitting in a puddle of their own piss right now. They're on that wall.
Billy Braver calling all the night.
I love Billy Braver, and I want him to be on this podcast. You have no idea how much I love little Billy Braver.
He called up here with a bunch of attitude.
He did?
Yeah, talking... You know, about
my little Billy Braver.
Yeah, and the person who answered was like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are." And they're like, "I was really big in the '70s." And the person answered the phone and goes, "I was born in '91." I was like, "Shut down, Braver."
That's the best.
I took him to a show when Eleanor was opening for Dice, and he sat down with my son because my son wants to play music. He goes, "Listen, you're going to be in a band?" He goes, "I already saw you know how to play drums. You're a good-looking kid."
He really
"You're
going
to be amazing." He goes, "But listen, don't let girls get in the way. Girls are bad. Don't bring them around. You guys need to write songs. You need to practice. They're just going to get in the way. They're going to break up the band.
They're going to ruin everything.
They're going to break up the band."
He's like, "They're going to ruin everything. So just stick with your music. You practice, and you're going to be great. And then you'll get the girls. But don't let them get in the way before you're big." He's like,
"As
okay."
He's signing divorce papers.
And he's sitting there. He's like, "Okay." You see his head going, "Okay."
That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
I've been meeting these girls in kindergarten. They're chicken heads. No doubt about it.
They're chicken heads. They're really getting in the way of things. Like, I've been getting my jokes down.
Bro, I'm working on Alphabet right now. I don't need this shit.
How's he doing in school? Is he like a class clown?
No, he's not. He's completely just quiet and calm.
Okay.
Does his work.
That's a good comic.
Yeah, it doesn't need the attention.
Yeah, it doesn't need the attention. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because if he was doing that, those guys are always horrible.
Yeah.
They're never good comics.
They're always the first to get knocked out.
Yeah.
Like, just nobody needs
like,
all
that
attention.
You flew by on inside jokes for 8 years when you were a child. How weird that the rest of the world can't relate to your shit about fucking Toledo.
Well, because that's how the old guy, like, you know, when people say, "Oh, I got this guy at work. He's so funny. He should be a comedian." No, that guy's going to be horrible.
He's terrible.
On stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
You're so funny. You should move to Los Angeles or New York and do stand up. You would be hilarious. Everyone would love you.
The one that always drives me crazy is people who are like, they should do a reality show about my job.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
Asshole,
yeah.
No one wants to watch fucking the four dumbasses in a shipping department.
I feel like you two would be great on rants together, like, because you both have hatred,
we hate everything,
in your soul, right?
Well, that's what you said something yeah. about. Van-
well, goes, I,
yeah.
I do if fights. I have to, you know, I can ramp it up, but I let it go really quick. I don't hold
okay,
it.
Okay, good. You don't hold, I don't hold no, that at all. He doesn't hold it either, but vanity plates piss you off?
Yeah, when you said that, the other day I was driving somewhere with my wife, and there was like 9 of these fucking things in a row, and it just angers me.
Yeah.
It's well, just like put, someone who's like, you know, they're like, I'm so fucking clever. I'm going to fucking put this license plate. I'm going to use the 8 so I can write hate with just an H and an 8.
So smart.
So dumb.
Yeah, or the license plate would be like doctor. And I'm like, okay, thanks. I was wondering, yeah. you know.
Is there a doctor guy on the freeway?
Yeah, and I was wondering who that guy in that Honda Accord is up 7 cars, what he did for a living. I don't give a fuck that you're a doctor.
I agree, kids. I you know love what I mean? It.
Yeah. It really doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Or someone just tries to put like LOL, you know, like, a, you know.
LOL, like, oh, yeah, you should just hit them. Right. Like, yeah. That's.
I'm like, who's laughing at that? Like, what is someone going to do when they pull up behind you? Are they going to go, that? Now that's a funny plot. That's a good, I like
see,
that.
There's got to be assholes who are like that. Because it's like, all the fucking people, I keep hearing people going, dilly dilly. And then, because they love
what's
the fucking
that?
Bud Light commercial. That's my biggest pet peeve right now. Anyone who says dilly dilly and then looks around for people like, right? The commercial?
If you I don't watch commercials.
If you love a commercial, time to die. That's how I
time's up. Time's up. Bring your little Oprah sticker. Yeah, time's up.
Bud Light is trying to push this thing where guys cheer doing a beer and they're dilly dilly instead of like, you know, cheers to yeah. whatever. So they're going dilly dilly. So now he's fucking.
There's
you know,
people doing
there's
it.
People doing it. I just had this conversation with my friend on Sunday. He goes, I hate that. He goes, yeah, I was in a bar the other night with my friends and they were doing it. And when we were doing shots, I go, what did you do? He goes, I didn't say it. I go, they said it? He goes, yeah. I go, what did you say to them? He goes, I didn't say anything. I go, why didn't you say something? Why don't you call them out right yeah. there? And go, what the fuck are you doing? You're a grown man.
Yep.
You're fucking, it's a Bud Light commercial.
Unacceptable behavior.
It's unacceptable. Yep. He goes, I didn't think. Next time, fucking go, wait a minute.
Do
we're not
part.
Doing a shot.
Yeah.
What you saw that in the commercial?
Yeah, you're so inspired.
What's next? You're going to go, America runs on Dunkin'. What's next?
Yes.
Yeah. These are the same assholes who are doing.
America's still going to run if Dunkin' Donuts goes out of business. It's
guaranteed.
Still going to be up and running.
Well, it doesn't run on Dunkin'?
No, it doesn't.
I don't.
Nobody calls
how,
it. Nobody
you
calls it
that?
DD. Remember they tried to change it DD.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah, you're,
calls.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm going DD. What's DD?
Yep.
Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh.
That's when it's die, and you just keep hitting them until the DD sinks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw people doing it at the front bar the other night. Someone
I'm a big on catchphrase.
Hit him with the dilly dilly, and then all the people in the group started laughing and did it too. And I was like, oh, this is fucking terrible. And then Toby started fucking.
I'm going to use
hey,
it on stage and see if I can get a laugh.
Toby started ripping him immediately. Hey,
he did.
Get that shit away
oh, yeah,
from the
Toby's
bar.
Oh, yeah, Toby's great.
He did? Really?
Oh, yeah.
He said that?
Yeah, just a great, angry bartender. Hey, you got to get that shit away from the bar.
I want to meet him.
He's been here He's been here a while now. Yeah, yeah so I could see him getting immediately angry. Come on, man.
Just
back
so
that shit up. Yeah, just yelling at people. He's great.
Yeah, I don't know why. And I make a portion of my money from being in commercials. But if I ever made a commercial where I said something stupid and everyone started quoting it, I would just have to stop commercial acting. It'd be so fucking obnoxious.
I went to a meeting one time for one of the big agencies in New York for commercials. This woman, one of the agents, saw me at a comedy club. She goes, come in, I think you'd be perfect. So I sit in a room with like all 9 of them. They go, okay, we're going to send you out for voiceovers and this for commercials
oh
or like that.
Voice
and I'm sitting like, okay, fine or whatever. And then I just go, hey, look, I just want to let you know. I go, if there's any like corny commercials where I'm like the goofy white guy, I go, don't send them me out on those. And they go, why? I go, yeah, I just don't. That's just not me. They go, what do you mean that's not you? I go, I'm not going to be the guy. Like, don't send me out like the guy in the beer commercial, a white guy, like some girl walks by and he just stands there like he's never seen a girl before in his life. I go, I've seen a lot of girls and I would never do that. So,
yeah,
I go,
good
just
for
send,
you.
I go, there's a million other guys you could send out for that that need the money that are like waiters. I already make a living doing as a comic. So just don't send me out on that. And they got so fucking mad. They're like, why are you here then? I'm like, she fucking brought me in.
She told
I don't
me
know.
To come, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my God, out. Okay, whatever. And then my friend went in a week later, and he goes, yeah, Jim Florentine's my friend. She goes, oh, Angry Jim? Oh, yeah, that's what we know him. That's what we call him, Angry Jim. I go, no, because I didn't want to fucking be the goofy white guy wearing a fucking button down like I never saw a girl before. You know, every beer commercial, the hot girl walks by and was like,
yeah.
I can get porn on my phone, but I'm gonna make a face like that I can.
Yeah.
That if some cute girl walks by, like I've never seen one before.
You've gotten the massage vortex. Why would you stare at some girl that you don't know what's happening?
Asian massage parlor is 3 miles from my house. Please,
3 miles.
2.8.
I'm sorry, I didn't park in the back. Close. Park in the
back. Everyone used to hang out here.
Like, it's so weird.
What
year
did
you come here to LA, I guess?
98, I came here. I don't know if I ever told you the story. Like, first night in LA, I came up to the comedy show because I wanted to, like, hang out.
Yeah.
Bought a ticket, got in. I watched, it was like Johnny Sanchez, Freddie Soto, and then Holtzman.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting by myself.
That does something to you, doesn't
it? And Holtzman was like, look at this fucking loser sitting by himself. And I go, what? I'm from Boston, like fresh out of Boston.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll knock this fool out. And then there's another dude.
You can see the crazy in his eyes. So you're like, let me think about this. Fight him.
And then there's another dude next to me sitting by himself. He goes, you two should sit together and then maybe fuck later. And I was like, I'm going to kill this guy. And then I went back to my car fuming with a ticket on it. It was like, welcome to LA.
Oh.
It was the perfect evening.
And you didn't even get blown by that other lonely guy.
No, I did.
You're lonely.
I totally did.
Come on.
Was it Tony Falcone? Hello. You know, they say.
I love these obscure references. This is
yeah,
great.
What is this called?
I know
Tony
who that
Falcone.
Is.
He's a gay open micer. He is a gay open micer. Joke ever.
It was which is?
You know, they say one out of every four guys is gay. And then he'd point in the audience. One, two, three, surprise.
Listen.
Hello.
So accurate.
Goodbye.
It's disgusting.
Oh,
Earl, no one could see you lift your glasses. We're not videotaping. Are we videoing this, Josh? No, we can't do that. No one wants to let us go live streaming.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah. Smart. I'll be quiet.
We've had some crazies in here.
Oh,
but Holtzman is a Comedy Store podcast favorite. People love it because he usually barks for no reason. Oh, yeah, a couple times. And then one of the podcasts that got lost was him and Don Barris, and they have one of my favorite fights on here.
You lost it?
It was a long story. I can't explain.
Maybe it was on this fucking 4
it
meg.
It could be on this. Now they're both fucking doing it.
We used to do this during each other's sets in the back of the and the audience
just
would turn back like, what is going on here?
My favorite Earl moment here on stage, it wasn't even his. It was Jimmy Schubert's. Do you remember this night? Jimmy was a little drunk.
A little, I think.
Okay, maybe a lot.
Let's just say I also think it was snowing in certain parts of the room.
Okay, we don't have to incriminate anybody.
I'm not incriminating anyone. I'm just saying there was a little booger sugar in the air.
All I'm saying is Schubert was feeling good.
Yeah,
so
real
he's
good.
On stage, and it's late, right? It's a Monday. It's like
fucking
nobody. It wasn't that. Maybe 12 people in the audience. Maybe less, right?
I don't think there were that many.
You're right. Because it was a lot of comics waiting to go on.
Yeah.
So that's including in the 12, like us sitting in the back waiting. And Ronnie was with me, my ex, and Schubert goes, and he goes, I want to go up. So they let him go up, and he's on there, and he's doing this fucking yogurt bit, and he just won't stop. Like, he's just committing. Like, why are you doing bits? There's nobody in here.
Right.
Talk to the fucking audience, yeah. Right? So he's doing his yogurt bit. He's staying on it. And out of nowhere, fucking Naked Earl comes out of the...
just walks up.
Peeks out, right?
No, Schubert, from behind him?
Nothing. He sees nothing. He's still... How much fucking yogurt do you fucking need? He's doing his bit. He's staying on the yogurt. Now everybody's going crazy. People are coming in to see what's going on. Earl's dancing behind him with his dick tucked in between. His leg, nothing. No, he's thinking he's killing. He's like, damn, this fucking yogurt bit's getting better and better.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
But can I tell you the funniest part was the next time we were on a show together, he does the yogurt bit and it bombs. And he says to me, dude, I did this the other night at the store and it killed. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. Just different energy. Of course, I think we're in one of Dante's rooms. Hello, Dante here.
This is why nobody likes the Comedy Store podcast, because we shit on everybody.
But we name names. I mean, what's
we do name
it?
Names because well, we have a disclaimer, so we can. But that's the thing is like that kind of shit goes on here.
As soon as the Cosby thing hit news that he got convicted,
yeah,
first person who texted me, Jimmy Schubin.
He's the best.
It costs him $14,000 a day for legal services. Who's getting raped now? I'm like, here we go.
So
here
bad. We go.
He rattled off like 10 of them.
Are you guys going to do a season three? You got picked up?
Yeah, we're coming back this summer. Yeah, so this, I
Where
guess I can't really
it
say
this.
We're going to do it in L.A. It'll be here in L.A.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll shoot it in L.A. And
Rick and I should battle one another?
Would you guys?
That'd
be dope.
Be amazing.
They do ask about Rick a lot.
I'm kidding. You should, though, Rick.
I'm a white guy. Do they allow that at Comedy Central anymore?
As long as you braid your hair.
It's your hair, yeah.
You just have to braid
I think
it.
You're good.
A couple cornrows.
That's beautiful.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. But because they don't really bring a lot of white guys, I think you actually have a shot because we don't. You know, you're actually a minority, kind of.
I see. That's what I'm talking about. My time has finally come.
Who won? Frank won the last one.
Frank
that's
Castillo,
what we were
yeah.
Joking about.
Current
Frank
door
Castillo.
Guy. Yeah.
Oh, that's
like, did
Frank.
You have
you're
Frank
talking
about
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah. I see. He's not a paid regular, though, right?
Okay, no.
No,
not yet.
He's out. He's out then.
He's. Do you get just bombarded with people to be on the show? Because it's such a fun show, but
it's a
also,
cool show. But I mean, you're getting ripped apart. So
absolutely, like that night with Tiffany Haddish. I remember me and Leslie walking out, and I said, Leslie, we should do this because we're kind of the same, like energy, talk shit.
But she's too sensitive.
Not really a writer. And she looked at me. She goes, Nah, man, that shit hurts.
She not for real, like, yeah. She doesn't like it, man.
She's
like,
no, I can't.
She definitely can't dish it, but she doesn't like to take it.
She doesn't.
Actually, to a sense, she doesn't even like the show anymore because she would come and then
she would.
Know, and Earl Skakel and her would get into it, and she just doesn't like the.
Oh, and she didn't like
aftermath.
What's her name?
Whitney.
Yeah. That's right.
The racist girlfriend.
Was great.
I saw her corner Earl by the ice machine downstairs one day, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And Earl's like, yeah, she was mad about something.
At
a roast battle.
Yeah.
I thought she was literally going to fight him.
I would have.
But
I mean, they
started filming and then just.
There's some very, very, very hard black jokes they were giving her. Like, you're a celebrity. I saw you on the cover of National Geographic.
Yes,
I mean, things like
that's
that.
That's what Whitney said that really.
Classic. It's an oldie, but a goodie.
It is an oldie, but a goodie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, they would go in hard.
Hard.
Hard, hard, hard on her.
Hard.
And it is like not.
Didn't I see you on the Empire State Building, Leslie? live from New York?
Jesus.
It's
very mean. It's not even funny. It's just mean.
But it is hard. People rip me to shreds. Like,
people rip everybody to shreds.
Yeah. Me to shreds. So I feel like I'm.
Yeah, nothing's
used
off
to
limits.
It.
It's a lot of fun in there. But you are going to get ripped apart. Everybody gets ripped apart.
I used to get so annoyed when I would judge by the crowd. Because the crowd, it's like full on mob mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
And so, like.
You mean they're
someone,
picking their favors,
someone,
right?
Like someone would say a joke that was great, and everyone would go crazy. And they'd be like, all right, this shit's on. And then someone else would say a joke that was just fucking terrible. But the crowd was already so
still
riled
losing
up.
Their mind, yeah.
They're all just like, oh!
Yeah, that's the problem we have in that room sometimes.
And then Jeff Ross would be like, that was one of the best jokes I've ever heard. I'd be like, what the fuck's going on? And then I was like, am I allowed to...
Yeah, you're like,
talk shit about the other judges.
100%.
I'm like, I don't think I am.
Yeah. No, you're totally
so
right.
They always
there.
Get each other. Yeah.
I just
sit
there angry, like, man, I don't think I can make fun of these people.
No, you're supposed to. That's the whole idea of the show. Yeah, like people, you have to call that shit out. I know Mike Lawrence does that all the time. He always calls it out. He's like, these aren't that good jokes. Like, you guys have to calm down.
Yeah.
And like, then, what's wrong with you people?
And then the wave is probably the most annoying thing that ever happened.
You sound like the rest of America. Yeah. I love the wave. I mean, I'm one of the biggest fans of them.
It's one of my favorite things.
So terrible.
So silly.
But on the show, no, it seems like people who watch the TV show hate the wave. We get so much hate mail.
It's just so awful. And the shit they do is so unfunny. And I love those dudes.
Yeah, you
They're
love yeah, individually.
Dudes.
Yeah, you love
Sometimes
them.
Sometimes it's really right on.
It's
honestly,
so good to me. I love it.
I can't. I'll
it has
him.
Legitimately never been anything other than awful, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, come on. They played 9/11. They, you know, they yes. did the tower thing, you know?
That was pretty
just
good.
Just super classics. Just for the history
Willie
books.
And Jamal, they're like yeah. seriously three of my favorites.
Yeah.
yeah they reenacted the Malcolm X assassination.
Legitimately like all three of those guys. They should just not ever be allowed to speak to one another after what they've done.
A couple weeks ago, Jamar tweeted, I'm going to go quit the wave. Yeah. And I was like, that is so silly.
It's just funny. Yeah. It's what? Like, hey, who cares?
Shout out.
My favorite.
Shout out He's to the him best. Then.
Jamar Neighbors.
That. Yeah.
Shout out Jamar Neighbors.
For quitting the wave.
Thanks for quitting the wave.
He didn't quit.
Rick's excited you quit the wave.
Yeah, I just so I can't deal with it. But the last time I judged was a couple of years ago, and it was me and Ron White. And
oh, did he know you?
No, it was the 45th time he had met me for the first time, and he's sitting next to me, and the speed weed or something gave us a bunch of like weed stuff.
They're still in there.
And
thank you, speed weed.
Yes,
and I go. I go, hey Ron, do you want this stuff? I don't smoke anymore. And he's like, yeah, I'll take that. So I give him the little pouch thing they gave me, and then he immediately takes out the candies from his bag and eats them, and then the candies from my bag and eats them.
He ate all that?
He ate all of it. I'm just like, Ron, damn, why? This guy's fucking down. And so we're waiting.
That's a lot of milligrams.
I thought it was just tequila.
I mean,
but, okay.
We're talking
dude, that's
four.
Crazy.
Four.
It's like 60 milligrams he took. Yeah. yeah.
And so we're sitting there waiting, and it's about 20 minutes late at this point, and he just goes, all right, I'm out of here. I go, they said they're going to start in 5 minutes. He goes, no, these motherfuckers are going to kick in any time. I'm gone.
Yeah.
And then he left, and then they had to spend an extra 10 minutes trying to find another judge because Ron just got up and left.
Yeah.
Always.
If they would have started even 10 minutes late, he would have been stuck in there doing it. But he ate four candies and was
amazing.
Just like, time's up.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have barfed or like something. Yeah, because that's crazy.
To watch him trip.
Yeah. Do I get high?
Yeah.
Do I get high?
Come on, Al.
Yeah.
This is such a weird thing to be back here, man. This is a fucking... This is... So much has changed. This is crazy.
The whole place has changed,
it's
right?
It's professional now.
I know.
It was a fucking nightmare back in the day. It was the maniacs running the asylum. I mean, all kinds of crazy. I don't know how the place fucking stayed open for so long.
We from always what talk I understand, about the dead years. Yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand, they actually fire people for misconduct now. Can you believe that? Can you believe that ridiculous policy? All we had was misconduct.
We were just saying that. That's like a badge of honor when you get fired from here. Plus, we never got fired.
It wasn't
like
permanent
for, fire.
Yeah. No, not for long.
Because who was in charge?
Exactly. You know?
Well, yeah. Dean fires you, and then you just show the next day. And you go, no, I'm not fired, dude.
You had Richie wandering around hacking up shit all day.
McGriddles! McGriddles all day, baby!
McGriddles, remember?
Little Dickie V, Richie Taylor.
It was so much fun. It's like, I don't think I could work here now. It's too straight. It's too corporate. But it's still better than anything else, though, you know?
Absolutely, because there's still places to hide.
And I remember when Shelly, remember when they brought in Shelly?
Yeah.
Oh, big time.
So she tried to corporatize it, and it didn't work.
But it was too far gone still.
Yeah.
It was too crazy. And it was like, when I got here in 2000, I came to L.A. in 2000. I started working here in 2001, and I got here because I made friends with Jason Lucas. That's why I came in here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Because we were both assholes sitting on the porch for six months, open micing, you know, and we'd be out there, and we'd get here. We'd sign up Saturday night. Remember that nightmare? You'd get here Saturday night. You'd have to sign up at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Then you would come back at, like, noon on Sunday. Then you would pull your number because you had to sign up on that piece of paper. And then they would rip that sheet out every once in a while.
The following week?
It was the following day.
No, but you got on
that's
that
right.
Night.
Yeah. No, we would have to come back.
Yeah,
no,
it was
wait
the following
minute.
Week.
It was the following week.
When I started in 2002 doing the open mic, it was show up at 1, write your name on a list, come back at 6, draw a number, and what number you got, if you got a number, it was the following week.
Yeah, that's how it was. I remember it being even earlier than that, though. Like, we had to get here at, like, noon and then pull a number, and we were pulling definitely for the following week.
Yeah.
But you would have a spot because you picked the week before, and you would just hang out. So I'm not going to drive all the. I was living in Torrance at that time. There's no way I was going to drive all the way back to Torrance.
Yeah. I was Manhattan Beach, exactly. So same thing.
So you stayed here, and you had to put up with Mashevitz coming out with the bucket, cigarette hanging off that lip, with that fucking shitty Mashevitz attitude, right? Like he was doing you a favor. You know, it's crazy. It's like when we got here, between me, Lucas, Simone, and a bunch of other guys that started here.
What year was it again?
This was 2000.
2000.
Okay. And we all thought Mashevitz is the guy that has it the most together.
Oh, Jesus.
And then you realize later on, that's the craziest motherfucker of all of them.
Yeah.
All that's of
like,
them.
He was so soft-spoken when I first met him. I'm just like, this guy's nice. And then I saw him go off one day, and I'm like, oh dynamite in a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
I used to work out with him, and he was beating the shit out of himself all the time. He would do Runyon Canyon, and he'd be smoking the entire time. I mean, he just didn't give a shit about it.
That's legendary.
But when he drank, I remember
he would get wild.
Would get crazy.
That's when I saw him flip out. I'm like, get him drunk more.
When he got sober, I felt like a piece of me died, you know, because I had so much fun. I remember being in here one day, and he was, I had gone out with him and a couple of the waitresses. And I was flirting with one of the waitresses, not seriously, just fucking around with her. But
of course.
But Mashevitz
said, "That's how comics get through the day."
Exactly. Mashevitz had a thing with her.
Oh yeah. Okay. Right.
So I'm not mentioning any names, but Mashevitz had a thing with her. So the next couple of days, I'm here, and Mashevitz is drunk off his ass, and he's talking to her, and one of the waitresses is drunk, and she's losing it on Mashevitz. Mashevitz, you go near my girl, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to kick your
you're
ass.
You're giving it away.
Exactly,
yes.
I'm not giving away names. I can't give away names.
To me, I mean, I know exactly who it is.
You know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yes.
So I go to the other waitress that's of the trio that's living together, and I say, hey.
Now you're really spilling the beans.
I say, hey, you know what?
Process of elimination. Get the old time sheets.
As long as I don't give names, I feel comfortable with it. I just said, I was like, you know what? Your girl right now is my boy's moving on your girl right now. He's going to take that home, and you guys got to deal with that. And the look of fear that came over her face, and
she was like,
Ramos, you got to get him out. You got to get him out of here. I'm like, fuck him. That's not my problem. I'm not dealing with this shit. Yeah. I'm here for the shits and giggles. I'm just having a good time.
We're guys. Yeah. We're not protecting each other. We're pushing each other over the edge.